today on Anchored in the Word.
Think about that. She's childless for all those years. God gives her a child, and then not too long afterward, you know, takes the child back. Now, God does what he wants, and, you know, he does what he wants. But in that situation, the one promise that we have from God, that he will never, ever give us more than he can handle. Is there a promise that no Christian will ever have a child that dies? Of course not. But the Bible does say that he will never give us more than we can handle. And that's what we got to hold on to.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. We've all been told that God won't give us more than we can handle. Pastor Bill will reiterate that today, as well as remind us that trials will come. We were never promised that we won't have trials and hard times. The promise was that we'd never be alone through it. Let's keep that in mind as we go about our days. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
So you want to kind of bless people. You want to give them the best, you know. And so anyway, so that was kind of the thing. But this is the idea that's happening here. So they got this room for the prophet. Anytime he comes by, he'll have a place to sleep. And verse 11 says, and it happened one day that he came there. And he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. You know, I'm comfortable just exactly where I am. I'm not worried about those people there, the king and the commander of the military. So he said, what then is to be done for her? He's talking to a servant now. And Gehazi answered, well, actually, you know, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, well, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. And that would have been a cruel thing to do. You know, obviously, I mean, there's a woman, you know, it's interesting. It says that the husband was old. Well, that's, you know, that's not as much of a factor as if the woman is old. You know that, right? It's more of a factor if the woman's older. But the point is, she must have been obviously older too. But the thing was, she had no son. And in that time, to be childless was really a tough thing. I mean, it was socially really unacceptable. And so it was a shameful thing. Now, this is what I want to say here. This doesn't mean that every time that somebody's childless, that automatically God's going to make that happen for them. And if it doesn't happen to you, it's because you don't have enough faith. Don't buy into that one. But God does bless in many ways this way. But what we don't want to do is take something out of the Bible and say, every single situation, every time, that's the way it's going to work. The message that I want us to get today is God takes care of his people. And he will take care of us and give us exactly what we need. But I'm going to tell you something. This prophet in this situation, as the Heavenly Father sometimes with that kind of an attitude, what would you like me to do? As you got this relationship with God, and he's the blessing God. And so anyway, let's get back to the Shunammite woman. As she's just, you know, she's just like, oh, don't lie. Don't tell me something like that if it's not going to happen. He says in verse 16, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And then she says, oh, don't lie to me. Verse 17 says, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. In other words, he's grabbing his head like he's got this massive headache. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. Then he died. Ooh. Now they say that that's one of the hardest things that anybody in the world could experience. the death of a child. Okay, they put that in the, you know, in the level of stress or whatever you want to call it, and that's one of the worst, the death of a child. It's interesting, if you don't have children, you'll never experience that for sure, right? I mean, that's one thing of the positive. If you never had kids, you would never experience that. But that's what happened. At noon, it says, then he died. Verse 21 says, so she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. What's interesting, she didn't tell her husband what was happening, what was going on, which is very interesting to me. No time to waste. She just wanted to get to the man of God because she believed that he could do something about it. Verse 25 says, and so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Now, you know Mount Carmel. That's the place where Elijah went when he called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. Remember the prophets of Baal that day that they got together and sort of like a showdown on Mount Carmel. And that's where the prophets hung out. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, and from Mount Carmel, you can see afar off. You're way up on the hill and you can see a long ways. So when she saw him afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. That was interesting too. She didn't tell the truth to Gehazi there, the guy. Verse 27. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. In other words, God hasn't shared with him what it was. And is it interesting as you look at that and you think, I mean, God would tell him that? Think about that for a second. Now, the prophets in the Bible heard directly from God, and then they spoke it out. Thus saith the Lord. God spoke right to them and spoke right out. And it's interesting today in the New Testament, because they had the Spirit of God upon them. And as Christians, we have that in the New Testament. The Spirit of God is upon us. We can hear from God. Now, be careful in this area of hearing from God, because some people think they hear from God when they don't. That's reality. It's happened to me. It happens to everybody. But some of it's more strange than others. But how do we gauge that whole thing, whether we're hearing from God or not? Well, by the Word of God. We'll never hear something from God that contradicts the Word of God. And to the degree that I spend in the Word of God, I believe will be the degree that I hear from God, and not just be in the Word of God, but then be a doer of the work of what the Word says. And so, but the prophet heard directly from God, and he's like, well, God hasn't told me what's going on here with this woman. He hasn't shared it with me. Verse 28. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? In other words, I didn't ask for one. You came to me. Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. So he's sending his servant to go back and to revive the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now remember verse 30? Just previously, that was on the last day before Elijah went to heaven. That's exactly what Elisha was saying to Elijah. Remember that? And now he's got somebody saying that to him. It's kind of interesting. He says, I'm not leaving you. As the Lord lives and as you live, I'm not leaving. And so he arose and followed her. So now they're heading back to her house. Verse 31. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. And he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times. That's a good sign. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. That's amazing. Somebody actually came back from the dead. Has that ever happened? Yeah, it's happened in other places in the Bible where Jesus called forth people, Lazarus. Prophets had called people back from the dead. There's a story that you can read about Pastor Chuck's sister, and I've met her. I believe it was Virginia. She's still alive. I don't remember which book. You could probably look it up on the internet. Maybe you'd figure out which book it is. But what happened to him, to his family, actually? His mother, I believe the story goes, was carrying him in the womb, Pastor Chuck in the womb. And they lived down the street from a church. And something happened to the daughter, Virginia, I believe, which, and she turned blue. And the next thing you know, she said she was dead. And that's the way the story goes, that she was dead. And so what she did was she took the child up and ran to the church. Okay, now, his dad at that time was not a believer. The mom was. Pastor Chuck's dad was not a believer at that time. The mom was a believer. And so they ran to the church, and the pastor of that church said, because she was afraid, as you can might imagine, with a mother, her worst fears. And she says, you just got to believe God. You just got to believe God in this moment. And they started praying, and they were just praying. Now, the story goes that this girl came back to life. Now, the father got wind of this somehow, and he ran up, and he was mad because he couldn't believe that his wife, this had happened to the daughter, and that she didn't take him to the hospital, that she went to the church because he wasn't a believer. As a result of this reviving of the girl, the father got saved, number one. And the second thing that happened from that was the mother, as a result of God doing this, and I don't remember the story, if it was one of those things, Lord, if you bring my daughter back, I'll do this. I don't know if that was what she said or not. Or after the fact, she said this, but this is what she said. She goes, Lord, this child that I'm carrying right now, I'm going to dedicate him to you. And I want you to use him for your purposes. And that was the promise that this mom made. Now, what she did from the time that he was little, Pastor Chuck, he learned to read by his mom teaching him the Bible from the time he was young, from the time that he could first understand. She read him the Bible, and he learned to read from the Bible. Now, I say to you that you can look at Pastor Chuck Smith's ministry after, you know, 70 years of ministry and the 1,400 Calvary chapels that have come out of that one church, and a man who was, you know, God was faithful to this woman who, first of all, her daughter was revived, and I met her, Virginia. So what I'm getting at is God still does things like this. God still does things like this. Does he do it for everyone? Is it, if the Lord puts it on your heart to do it, to pray for it, go for it. Don't care about what everybody else thinks around you. But it does not mean that every time somebody dies, the only thing we have to do is lay on top of them and put our mouth on their mouth and they're going to come back to life. No, I'm serious, right? We can take things like that. No, it's not, doesn't mean that. But in this situation, God wanted to do something, and he put it on the prophet's heart to do that. And first he put it on the woman's heart, because you notice she didn't even tell her son that he was dead. It was on her heart to go right to the man of God, and she did. And God, again, used that, and then he did a mighty work. So we see that God met this grieving mom right where she was, and it would have probably been way too much for her to bear at that particular point in time. Think about that. She's childless for all those years. God gives her a child, and then not too long afterward, you know, takes the child back. Now, God does what he wants, and, you know, he does what he wants. But in that situation, the one promise that we have from God, that he will never, ever give us more than he can handle. Is there a promise that no Christian will ever have a child that dies? Of course not. But the Bible does say that he will never give us more than we can handle. And that's what we got to hold on to. In this case, apparently, that was more than she could handle. Now we get to verse 38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. See, there's no promise. There's no promise in the Bible that says you will never, ever be in a famine as a Christian. Or you'll never be a part of a nation that's going to fall apart as a Christian. You know what I'm saying? In other words, America is not Israel. Now, Israel is a special nation that God has chosen, and he's going to preserve it and keep it around for end times reasons. There's a reason for that. But the United States does not have a promise like that. Now, again, I'm not being a Chicken Little or anything else. I don't know when it's going to happen. All I can tell you is the Bible says a house divided will not stand. You know, we're the United States of America, right? United. Think about that. That's the opposite of divided. United, we will stand. Divided, we will fall. I mean, we even know that. But the point is, it's headed that way. Whatever's happening is going to happen. But is God going to take care of us? Well, there's a famine, it says, in the land. Now check it out. Who's he talking about? The sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to a servant, so we got these, the sons of the prophets. We got the school of the prophets, whoever they are. They're people of God. It's important to notice, all right? The people of God. Now, I want you to know something, by the way. Those of you that are stockpiling food, thank you very much for doing that. Because when the food goes out, you're going to share it with the rest of us. That's the way it works as Christians, right? You're going to share your food. You're not going to hoard it. That's not what you're going to do if that happens. So if you're storing up food, God bless you. You're being called by God to do that for the rest of us, if it comes to that. So there's a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew. Though they did not know what they were. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing to do, right? You go out and get something that looks succulent and just cut it up and put it in the stew. You know, it's good that you know what you're putting in there. That's probably a good thing. So that's 39, the end of 39 tells us that's probably not necessarily the greatest thing to do. Verse 40, then they served it to the men to eat. Now, it happened as they were eating the stew, and this is like something that you don't want to hear while you're eating the stew, that they cried out and said, men of God, there is death in the pot. In other words, those gourds were poisonous. That's bottom line. There's death in the pot. And they could not eat it. This isn't just a case of, you know, having a bad cook. This is poison in the pot. Verse 41. So he said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now, that's interesting. The man of God gets involved and he puts some flour in. Now, I don't know, girls. Does this work for poisonous food? You put flour in, it's all fine then? This is something miraculous, right? It's not something they just do for anything. It's the faith of the man doing it. We've seen things in the Bible like this, like when he put the salt in the water, right? And the water became from terrible water you couldn't drink to. Now, it was fine. So the water healed. But it was something supernatural, something that God did through the faith of the man. But the idea being, there's a famine. These people needed to eat. And even, you know what? We don't know. Maybe we'll find this out someday. By the way, in the New Testament, it tells us, regarding what we should eat, he tells us to pray over our food, that it will be sanctified. Now, in other words, and it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him. But the idea is, it's important that we pray over our food, to ask the Lord to bless it to our bodies, and we pray that prayer. And it's not just a rote prayer that we pray because it's all, we've got to thank the Lord. And no, because we may be eating poison. You know, we don't know how many times that we've eaten something poisonous. Because we're here still, some of us have gotten sick, right? So we know we've done that before. We know what it feels like to eat something poisonous. Sometimes we wish we were dead. We didn't die, but we kind of wish we were. It feels that bad. But the idea is, even when we never got sick, we could have eaten something poisonous, and God just protected us. I don't know. Is there going to be a time when the books will be open? Yeah, you know how many times you did this or that and the other? Or have you ever, you've seen that, God saved, he could have saved us in a car situation that we didn't face or whatever. He's protecting us. And maybe someday we'll get to see how many times he actually did that, because we didn't actually know each time that it happened. I mean, sometimes we got a close call and we can see that. But maybe when we get to be before him, we'll get to see just how much God does it. The bottom line and the point I'm trying to make to you tonight is God does take care of his people. And so we see that through the famine, he feeds them. And even when they're eating poison, God makes a way so that they didn't get harmed by it. Verse 42 says, then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. But his servant said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. Now remember that happened in the New Testament many times when Jesus fed the people. He had a little bit. You trust it to the Lord, that little bit that you have. Don't be focused on what you don't have. It's what's right there before the Lord. And know that he'll multiply it to make it meet our needs. He says, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. Isn't that so many times we're not going to have anything left? We can't share our stuff that we put in our garage, all our food, because we won't have anything left, right? Do we know what that feeling? We've had that, all had that feeling, right? It's not a God feeling. If God lived that way, how about Jesus going to the cross? Well, I can't give it all. I won't have anything left. I can't let all the life come out of my body. There won't be anything left. I can't send my only son to the earth. I won't have any left. My only son. Think about that. That's not God's mentality. And we have to have that mentality that we serve the God who takes care of us, the God who provides for us, owns everything. And even if everything ceased to exist on this earth, he's got storehouses we can't see. That's who protects us. He's the God who takes care of us. And so verse 44 says, so he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. There's the key. It's not a blind test that we're in. It's not blind faith that we have. He's given us the word of God. And so tonight what we've seen as we've gone through this chapter, we've seen God's provision for his people. And God's people went through some hard times, right? The loss of a husband, a child dies, or there's a famine in the land. You know, things happen to Christians. But when they happen to us, perhaps a nation falls. I mean, I'm not hoping that happens. Believe me, I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen in my lifetime. I don't want that to happen in anybody's lifetime. But the reality is, this isn't heaven. This isn't heaven. If this country falls, I'm not going to have less faith or anything else. That's up to God, I guess. But the idea is when whatever happens in our lives, whether it be something related just to one family, or whether it happens locally, or whether it happens nationally, or whether it's the whole world, you know, is up in chaos in the whole world, it shouldn't be happening in our hearts because of the one who's promised to take care of us. If you're a Christian, that's the promise. If you're not a Christian, there is no promise of that. I think we can see that God's loving hand is, he hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New. Same God, same protection factor. He protects his people. Well, how do you become a Christian? Well, it's as simple as turning from the way you were doing things or are doing things and turning to the way that God does things. In other words, you must become a child of God. You must be born again. And how you do that is by turning from your sin and asking Christ to forgive you of your sin, surrendering your life to him and asking him to come in your life, and to now you're going to live your life for him. In other words, you're no longer the God of your universe. You're acknowledging the true God of the universe as your God in the universe. You're making it personal now. You're giving up the reins, so to speak, of your life. That's a choice that you can make, to hold on to the reins or give the reins up to him.
We are so glad you joined us today in our continuing verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. We hope Pastor Bill Beckelman's message has shown you the power and love of God. For more messages from Pastor Bill, please visit our website at anchoredintheword.com. You can listen to and download a wide range of previous broadcasts or simply subscribe to our podcast. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Anchored in the Word podcast is a great way to hear God's Word. Subscribing to our podcast will provide you with sound biblical teaching wherever you go. That subscription link is available under the Broadcasts tab on our website. The address again is anchoredintheword.com. We'd love to hear how Anchored in the Word has touched you personally. So please feel free to give us a call at 732-544-2225. That number again is 732-544-2225. You can also email us through the website. We'd love to know how we can pray for you as you journey through this life with Jesus. You can also connect with us on Facebook to add a little biblical encouragement to your newsfeed. That's all the time we have for today on Anchored in the Word, but we're so grateful to have been able to share God's Word with you today. Join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of 2 Kings. It's our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.